Welcome to Nintendo Dads, episode 143, recorded on August 23rd, 2017. On tonight's episode, we discuss Super Nintendo Classic pre-orders that maybe you actually got one or a lot of people didn't. Rocket League for Switch has had tons of info announced, as well as Splatoon and ARMS. Gamescom has been crazy. Season Pass has been announced for Mario vs. Rabbids Kingdom Battle and tons more. Also tonight with us, joining us on the show, Josh Thomas of YouTube fame and maybe some other stuff coming up. We'll find out. Zach, cue the music.
Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Zach Erickson, and tonight is August 23rd, 2017. Joining me from across the pond at the end of the rainbow, Justin Masson. What's going on, Justin?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it. This is exciting. I'm here. The fans, there was a groundswell of support on the Twitters and the social media that says, where is Justin? Bring him back. So I'm here. And by groundswell, just one person, Paul Lloyd. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, speaking of swollen, joining us as well, Jesse Waldeck from VGTribune.com. What's going on, Jesse?
Yeah, my feet have been swollen because a few nights ago, our basement flooded a little bit, and our carpet is still wet. So my feet have been doing that, and it's not been fun.
That was a very clean redirect, is what that was. I'm just going to call that out, and I appreciate your artistry.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. Speaking of artistry, joining us as well from the land of the south, Marty Estes. What's going on, Marty?
Not much. The only thing that I could think to say right now is I got an SNES pre-order.
What? You know, I don't even think Canadian land, I don't even think we've had pre-orders up here yet. I haven't seen them.
Sure you did. Sure you did. Amazon did it yesterday.
Well, crap. Oh, well. I guess, you know what? I stood in line. We'll get into it. Right on. And, of course, joining us from exile, self-proclaimed exile, I guess. I don't know. From the BitBlock, Josh Thomas. What's going on, Josh?
Not much. I missed my boys, and I need to come back to see what you guys are up to.
From his 40 days in the wilderness.
I don't know if you guys can see this on the video. I don't think you can, but Josh has returned from exile sporting a fabulous beard.
It's down to my nipples, right, as of right now. I'm going to try to get it down to my knees eventually by the time I return.
I am not getting video from Josh or Marty right now. So that means nor is YouTube.
Yeah, I like it. And I think the idea of Josh just wearing this like ridiculous toga, like I'm just seeing it in my mind right now. So I don't even want to see the real video. I just want that mental image. So all right. Well,
you just kind of got the mental picture of that, like the old guy from Aladdin. You know, like, I'm wondering, you buy this lamp. You know, it's Josh right now.
It is.
Buy this game.
Nice. Oh, that's awesome.
Hey, Justin, do you see chat or no?
Yeah, you got the what? All right. Okay. Well, hey, we got lots of news to talk about tonight. So we got to jump right into it. And the news, of course, is brought to us by patreon.com/NintendoDads. For as little as a dollar a month, you cheap, cheap freeloader. No, just kidding. You can support the show as well. So go over to patreon.com. Tell us how you really feel. For as little as a dollar a month, you can support the show. And it's awesome. Marty, you said, or somebody was looking this up. I don't know if anybody actually found this out. Do we have any new patrons this month? Or this week?
We don't actually have any new patrons this week, but we want to say thank you to all of our patrons, especially thank you for making us play Donkey Kong 64.
See, I told you you'd like it. That's why
I just
you
said
that,
thank
right?
you. That's all I said.
Okay. Well, no, I'm enjoying it. I don't know what everybody else is doing, but.
So.
Anyways, but yeah, go over to patreon.com/NintendoDads. We've got all sorts of cool stuff going on over there.
Justin just has the lamest excuse.
What? My Wii is packed in a box in storage in Canada. Your Wii or your Wii? My Wii U.
What about your Wii? Do you even have a Wii?
Same scenario. Both my Wii and my Wii U packed up in storage.
Look, dude. Two words. I'm not going to... No. Emulation. No, just kidding.
We do not support illegal downloading of content of Nintendo Dads. No,
technically, that is one word.
Yeah, if you say so. No, I don't... I don't know what that means. So anyways, let's move on. So everybody was really excited. Of course, the Super Nintendo Classic pre-orders came out this week, and if it happens during like the day at all, I just miss it entirely, which is really frustrating for me, but also whatever. However, so they went up. When did they go up? Like, they kind of just went up all over the place, right?
Well, there was a series of times that these went up. It was Tuesday, during Tuesday, Nintendo updated their page for the Super Nintendo Classic on Tuesday morning after pre-orders went live at two retailers, Best Buy and Amazon, both of which sold out immediately. And Best Buy's was up, I think, for about 45 minutes, but that was because it was at 4 a.m.
Oh, geez.
Central time. And Amazon's was up for just a little sliver underneath that, I think maybe 30 minutes. From there, rumors started coming out that everybody else was putting theirs up at noon Central Standard Time.
Okay.
And so from there, it was Walmart, Target, and then GameStop, and GameStop simply tweeted that they had them in store, and you had to come in the store to do a pre-order, to get there as soon as possible.
And you had to buy a pre-order of something or a bundle.
There were bundles, as Jesse will tell us in just a minute. In fact, he barely escaped the bundle of doom.
Yeah, I'll explain that shortly.
But sadly, people who tried to get these consoles from Walmart and Target again got the rug pulled out from under them. Walmart stock sold out in less than 30 seconds.
Wow.
And most people, in fact, Polygon published an article later on in the day directly pointing to the Tiding bot, which was the same scraper program that was being used when the NES Classic was put up on Walmart last year. People have it. You can buy that program for $110, and it will sell you as many as you want as long as you run the script. So, not a lot of happy people. And basically what it came down to was, after Walmarts and Targets were gone, GameStop got the lucky few who were able to get in and get a pre-order in store. And then they began to sell the bundles. Oh, the bundles.
My favorite meme that I saw today online was a bundle. I think it was in the NVC Facebook group. It was a ride-on lawnmower, a package of ground beef, and a Super Nintendo Classic Edition.
The GameStop's bundles weren't as bad as the ThinkGeek bundles. Those are just horrible.
GameStop's bundles topped out at $189.99. $49.99.
The highest one I have is $164.99. At least.
Oh, really?
On the flyer that I have.
There was one that they sold online that was $189.99, and so. It was, and even when the bundles went up, the website was so unreliable that lots of people were unable to get an order in. So, I was able to get mine in at GameStop. I was leaving lunch when that tweet went up, and a friend sent it over to me via text and was like, "You need to go right now," because I had literally wasted my entire morning on the Super Nintendo Classic at that point. I'm getting an echo.
Who's watching the live stream? Who's watching the live stream? Sir, turn down your radio.
Not me.
Yeah, right.
Like a friend tweeted me or texted me and was like, you need to go right now. So I go to GameStop and I open the door to come in and the manager's standing there and she was like, I know why you're here.
Really?
And she's like, we can't pre-order it yet. The SKU's not in our system, but we literally just got the email 30 seconds ago. We'll have you the hookup here in just a minute.
Oh, that's so awesome.
She would not tell me how many were allotted, but did account for the fact that GameStop stores were told that morning that they would have a special announcement later on in the day. Then when the email came in, they were told exactly how many they would be getting, and that was it.
Hmm.
And a lot of people have said that their GameStops received in the neighborhood of 6 to 10, and that was it.
That's no surprise. I wonder, so here's my thing that for people who didn't get a pre-order in, I think it's, I wonder how many, because they said that stock is going to be a lot better. I don't think that pre-order stock necessarily is a good indicator of what availability is going to be like when this actually releases. You know what I mean? Is it going to be a pain to have to go and find one? Absolutely. Like, it's going to suck. But I think that, like, once the original NES Classic was released, it was gone. And they had, they'd maybe get, a box of six in, once every other week is what it seemed like at EB Games or places like that. It was very hard to find once that initial allotment was sent out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm like, I wouldn't freak out just because this happened necessarily. I can understand the frustration for sure, but I don't, I would caution people to not prematurely lose their crap over it, if that makes sense.
Do you think that that's why it's being released earlier in the year?
Potentially. I think so. Yeah. Well, because that way, when does it come out? October?
September 29th.
September 29th. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. Mm-hmm. So September 29th, that's plenty of time, right? I mean, they should be able to continuously release these for a while, and meet that demand, and also be able to do them right through to holiday, hopefully, if they're smart at least, and then be able to really capitalize on that. And but also knowing that after Christmas, if you don't have one, then you're SOL at that point.
So I saw a post from someone earlier today on the Nintendo subreddit that they had emailed Nintendo about the lack of a pre-order. And basically the response that they got was, thanks for being enthusiastic about the Super Nintendo Classic. We understand that this is a highly sought after item. And then they go on to make this claim. There will be, again, this is the wording they used, there will be significant stock available on launch day with more shipments coming throughout the close of the calendar year.
Yeah. So, okay.
So I'm thinking, what does that mean? That okay, we did the pre-orders, guys. You asked for them, here they are. And now every store is going to get, 32 of these things. And then that's it for the first wave.
Yeah.
What it sounds to me is they're coming in waves.
Yeah. Well, and they said they'll have significant stock through the close of the year. So in other words, it's going to keep coming from the time that it's released until the end of the year.
Right.
Right. That's how I read that.
But here's my thing for those of us in here who didn't get a pre-order, Josh, did you pre-order?
I did not.
Okay. So I know Justin pre-ordered. No, Jesse did, but it may be our listeners who are watching on YouTube right now. Does that news satisfy you? Like, as a Nintendo fan, does it satisfy you that they go, they make this vague statement of, oh yeah, there's going to be significant stock and we're going to continue to ship through the calendar year? Because technically you can say that's what they did last year too, that they shipped through the close of the calendar year.
There was not significant stock last year though. Right. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
When a company makes a statement of, we've learned from the NES Classic, and then they allow this to happen again. No, they haven't. They haven't learned.
I would push back against that though, because I don't think that we necessarily know whether or not they the amount of time that first of all, we know that GameStop likes to screw around with pre-order stock and they just love to play fast and loose with any of their stock in their inventory. Take a look at how many NES classics they had in back stock forever, right? We know they play fast and loose with that. They aren't going to necessarily put all of those out. So GameStop is not a good indicator of stock levels. And we don't know either how long it would have taken. Like, even if they have double the amount of stock, then they still could have very easily sold out, right? Like, very high demand. So I don't there's too many unknowns here for us to really know how much more everything is, you know, how much more stock is there or not. So I just am saying that I don't necessarily. But
here's what I call significant stock.
Sure.
I call significant stock being able to walk into the store and see them on shelves without people throwing a fit over them.
Yeah, but Nintendo still doesn't have a significant stock on the Nintendo Switch.
That's true.
Right, and that's been out for 6 months.
And if we're wanting to just really dive deep and be honest, they've not had significant stock on the 3DS for the past year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys I go into a store and I see maybe a couple of 3DSs there every now and then, or a couple of 2DSs, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you were going to say something, Josh?
I was just going to say, and I have not seen a Nintendo GameCube on a store shelf in like 15 years.
Right?
So still working those production.
Something's going on at their
production. I've been hunting for one of those for a while.
Promises.
Playing a little bit of devil's advocate here. While I don't think this is all Nintendo's fault, because as you mentioned, Marty, the scalper bots are out of control, and they're probably more the problem at this point than Nintendo's stock problem is. Because, yeah, you know, if they can buy 50 units before humans click a button, that's wrong.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And
well, and that falls to the retailers to have a website that can counter that stuff, right? Like,
well, here's the thing. If a retailer has CAPTCHAs on their site, they can get around it. They can prevent it. Tidying cannot do those, but what it can do is right now they and even last year they claimed that they could scrape Toys R Us, Target, and Walmart successfully.
Hmm.
And so there's not there's not anything that's good about that. I don't know. Like when the entire stock of a big box retailer is gone before somebody can click to put it in their cart, maybe it's time for you to look at the way your website's built.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. This is honestly where I just kind of all of this stuff. I honestly feel like at this point, having gone through the whole, and my opinion of the NES Classic, I think is well established on this show. I think it's a cool piece of nostalgia. I don't think that it's necessary to, like, the amount of people going crazy, the number of people that have gone crazy over trying to get an NES Classic. Is it cool? Yeah. Is it amazing? No, it's not. And so, like, for me, I really am seeing this SNES Classic as like, okay, if I can manage to get one, then cool, I'll get one. If I don't, I'm really not that worried about it. Like I don't understand all the craze about it. And I mean, sure, maybe it's just not for me, but I don't know. I just think that,
You know what things I don't understand the craze about?
Hmm.
Sonic Mania.
We'll get to that. Don't you worry. We'll get
look
to
at,
that.
We'll look at that. His little taunting face up in that corner there. He knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, before we move on, I still wanted to share my story about this.
Yes, go.
So, you know, around quarter after noon, I saw in the Patreon chat, someone said GameStop's got them in store. Go. So I'm in the office at this point. I'm like, okay, sure, I'll go. So I drove, well, it's about 2 miles away, not too far. I get there. I'm fifth in line. They said my system hasn't activated the SKU yet. So at this point, I don't know how many units I have. Well, so we're all just waiting around for it to come up. He finally has to reboot his system before it comes up. At that point, the guy in front of me says, "I gotta go. I can't wait." So now I'm fourth in line. So when the system comes up and they now know how many units they have, and he's got 4 units. So myself and the 3 people in front of me were able to get our standalone unit at the normal retail price. Everyone else behind me got stuck having to do a web order of one of the 4 bundles, which means they had to do full pay now, and then it'll be shipped to the house when they come out.
Brutal.
And then the bundles for $99.99 is the system and a superpower book, like the standard edition. For $119.99 is the system, the book, and an ugly wireless controller.
Mm-hmm.
A blue one. Then for $144.99 is the system, the collector's edition, the GameStop exclusive collector's edition of the book.
Which, oh, good.
You know, they're selling it standalone for $45. I got a pre-order on Amazon for $20, so go look at that. With the red version of the ugly controller. Or for $164.99, you can get the system, the GameStop exclusive book, and a red controller and a blue controller.
And
what?
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
I don't know. The bundles, I don't like them, but I also understand why companies are doing them. Right, I understand why GameStop's doing it. Right, and hopefully it's to deter.
It's a money grab.
There's 2 purposes right there. A, deter scalpers if possible. Right, and B, they can make a little bit of money off of that because they're not going to make a whole lot of money off the system selling in any capacity.
These bundles at least make sense. The ThinkGeek version of the bundles are garbage.
Yeah, sure.
The ThinkGeek version of with the really crappy Mega Man helmet for $250.
Right.
Wow. Oh.
That's okay. Just the way to get revenue by dumping off their garbage stock that no one else wants.
Okay, so here's my question then, is because we could sit here and just whine about this all day, and no, that's not going to be fun. So so we got these in. Who here is like, is everybody excited about this? Josh, you said you're not getting it.
You know, if I'm in a store, like if I'm at Target and I see one on a shelf, I'd probably pick it up just as an impulse buy, but it's not something that I'm going to actively try and get, just because in my devious mind, I just think, hey, I could just download emulators of those or ROMs of those.
But honestly, then
again, I will say it's exciting to see a good Star Fox game launching this holiday season for a change.
Shots fired.
Touche.
You have to unlock – the only way you can unlock Star Fox 2 is by finishing a level in Star Fox 1.
They're going to say Star Fox Zero. I was going to say, I'm out.
I kind of feel the same way. Honestly, like with all of this trouble, they're not doing themselves any favors, right? To your point though, Josh, like for the same price, you can get a Raspberry Pi kit, right? Like a retro Pi that is literally that exact, you know, it's not only is it an SNES classic with these 21 games, which you can get all those 21 games on your retro Pi plus all the entire library of NES and SNES and whatever. And like legality aside, that's just the numbers game.
That's the reality of it.
Right. And so that's where I really, I've considered doing that for homebrew games only. Right. And for personal digital backups of games that I own hard copies of. And of course nothing else. And so that's, but if the numbers are the same, then that is definitely a question that I'm like, okay, like how do I want to do this here?
That's the real problem. And that's kind of the problem I had with the NES version. It's weird to me that it's like, they don't manage to get them on store shelves, because that would probably obviously equal a lot more people like me who are just going to buy it because it's there and it's an impulse buy. I don't know if Nintendo even wants that. Maybe this is just like a little thing they're playing around with. It's some quick money and they don't really mind too much if you're not able to get it.
They just look at it as
we're making 5 million, you know, SNES classics or whatever the number is. We don't care who gets them. We don't care.
I think they made like 1 million NES classics.
How much is it?
I don't know. I remember thinking that like the NES classic, I don't think they made more than like 1.5 million.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like it would probably benefit them and a lot of other people to just try to get it in stores. But I don't think that's something they're really too bothered about. I think that they just want to – they know that everyone they make will sell very quickly before the holiday season. And that's kind of the only reason for this project. It's a side project for them. And so, yeah, I think that's kind of
Yeah, and
even if they make, say, $2 profit per system, if they do make five and sell 5 million units, that's $10 million. Yeah, a lot of money, but in the grand scheme of things, it's kind of a drop in the hat for in the Nintendo budget.
Exactly.
But does it really? I would assume they profit a lot off of these things because they're so archaic.
They're basically selling a Raspberry Pi, right? Like, I know it's not actually a Raspberry Pi.
Well, I don't know what the wholesale price is. I don't know what the cost is. So obviously, there's of the money, there's got to be profit for the merchants, or otherwise they wouldn't want even while they're selling them. So there's a lot of pieces of the pie that's got to be that $80 gets spread around.
I mean, I almost feel like, I know this will sound ridiculous, but I almost feel like we're kind of approaching a time when you could have a Happy Meal toy that has like the original Super Mario Brothers on it or something.
Right.
That'd be awesome. I mean, they're like kilobytes of data, and it's like a little cheap piece of plastic with some little outdated chip. So I don't know. It seems, I don't know.
No, absolutely. I totally agree. So that's the SNES Classic.
The cost of the controllers themselves are probably as much as the system.
Well, that's why they're only a foot long, save on money.
Yeah. So I guess the SNES one, they are going to be longer too, luckily.
Oh, but that's good. That's good.
Yeah, they're going to be 5 foot instead of 2.5.
Which is so, I
wonder how big a GameCube controller, an N64 controller cord was.
Probably closer
to that. I will say this. If they ever make the N64 Classic, I will absolutely want to pre-order that.
Yeah. I don't know. It still makes me sad that the Genesis Classic sucked so bad that they did, whoever it was that did that. All right.
Not
so,
Sega?
No. So next up we have, we spent a lot of time on that one. Let's head into a few more things. Justin, what is this thing that you put in the chat? You mentioned it just as we were starting the show here with Box Boy. What is this nonsense?
Oh, it looks like there is a mobile version of Box Boy coming out on mobile devices in Japan, actually. It looks like it comes out available today. There's actually like a QR code that you can click, and it basically you can jump in to download. But again, it looks like it's in Japan only on their eShops on the Apple and Google. So I would suspect maybe that's becoming across the pond to us sometime soon as well. So. Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Is it a port or is this a new version of it?
I'm not 100% sure. Looks like it's probably a port. Looking at some of the screenshots, I didn't want to look at the video at the same time.
I just watched the video. The video looked like it was from the original Box Boy, but just kind of changed to be the size of a phone resolution.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. So nothing too drastic there. But I guess other topics we should talk about of interest are where do we want to go? Do you want to talk Gamescom real quick, or what do you want to talk here?
Let's real quick. We'll just go in the order that I kind of numbered them here. Really quick here. Season Pass announced for Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
That's the sequel.
Kingdom Battle. that's how I'm kind of feeling about this game. I don't know.
Oh my gosh, loves Mania, and this is going to be a good episode.
We're just going to see if it's actually good. So there's a season pass announced. What's the deals with this, guys? Who knows the deets on this?
Right. So there's like three bullet points for this DLC, which is very similar to the three bullet points of Breath of the Wild. The first is 8 unique steampunk weapons to be available at launch, each with its own statistics. These are exclusive for season's pass owners.
Okay.
So not a Switch shirt, but it's a weapon.
Well, that's better than a Switch shirt.
Yeah, you can actually use it.
But mm-hmm. It's cosmetic items, though, right? Like,
well, it sounds like the weapons have different statistics than what other weapons in the game are, so they could be useful. Mm-hmm. They could be garbage. I don't know. We don't know what the statistics mean.
Okay,
yet.
Who's got their radio on in the background? Put some headphones in. You. Who is it? I can hear some. I can hear somebody just echo.
You're loud. We can hear you.
Oh, there you go. Yeah,
my kid's playing game.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So this autumn, players will be able to test their skills with a new solo challenge or with a friend through additional co-op maps. So.
Okay. Is co-op already part of this game?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so it's just different map. It's new maps for it. Okay.
It's like a mode. They treat it like it's a mode you access through the world map.
Okay.
The hub, like the hub world.
Okay.
Then the third bullet is next year, players will be able to play through brand new story content.
Okay, but you can only get all of this stuff through a season pass, correct?
Yeah, which apparently is $10.
Oh, that's nothing, not bad. Man. That's nothing. Very cool.
So at the price good. Of the Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's not too bad at all. So that's how do we feel about this? I feel like for that price, I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. Like, I'm instantly more receptive to it because it's so cheap.
Yeah, it's interesting to me because they said that there's going to be more co-op stages, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting because the stages for co-op are all based on the story mode stages. So I guess that would probably be the new story elements that they're adding.
Maybe, yeah. But that would all come before these co-op modes will come before the.
Oh, see, that's I guess maybe they'll just theme them around the already existing themes in the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. So, I mean, it could be if it's like some. I feel like in Fire Emblem is maybe like a similar comparison here. I feel like some of those maps would come up with really ridiculous, over the top, difficult sort of scenarios that you would then have to play through together. You know, where maybe they ask you to do something that's a little bit different. That's maybe where they're going with that, where the scenario is different or they're asking, like it requires a more difficult strategy or something like that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But then if they add more story mode stuff to do, like new worlds to explore in story mode, it'd be really disappointing if you didn't have co-op challenges with those as well.
Yeah, themed around for that. Sure. So that's Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle. And that's coming out next week, right? Is that
Tuesday? 29th.
Oh, so on Tuesday.
Oh, next week?
And so, Josh, you've got hands on it, so we're going to talk about that during the what you've been playing section. Is that all right?
Okay. Yeah, all
right.
Cool.
All right. So next up we have here announcements for both Splatoon and ARMS. Splatoon, there's a new map. It looks like it's on like a big freight boat thing.
It looks really awesome, by the way.
Yeah.
It's cool. Manta Maria.
No. Yeah, it looks really cool. So there's a...
I think it's not out yet, right? It comes out Friday.
Yep. So it's a big, the Manta Maria be added to Turf War and ranked this weekend. And a new Lost Outpost stage will be added to Salmon Run. I haven't played this new, apparently it was added already. I haven't played it. But it's there. So I don't know if it's just like, it'll be scheduled around all the other ones too. I don't know. But yeah. And there's also a new bubble blower weapon that's coming. So yeah, anyway, so the Splatoon continues to get updates. Of more interest to me personally, I think just because it's a more significant update, is ARMS is also getting a new character, which is coming when? Like, is it possible that this is coming tomorrow? Or
they did not give an official. They did not give an official release date. They just said in the next update.
Okay, so it could come probably within the next. They said that they were coming every week, that they would be updating it every month, right? And so we did get an update in July. That's the one that came with Max Brass. And so this would have to be in August, which is, I mean, we're nearing the end of August, so I wouldn't be surprised if maybe it does come either tomorrow or next week. So that's...
I really don't expect it to come this month because it's going to get lost in the shuffle. I think mid-September.
Really?
Because with this, I mean, like, and I may be wrong, and I'll be glad to say I'm wrong. You know, like after this, after they add the new character, the new stage, and they rebalance again, which you know is coming, like how much more do they have to give for this game?
I think they've said that they were gonna continue to add new stages, new characters, new.
I think like, they said the first year, right?
Yeah, I think so. So like I think they're.
I don't think they committed. As I recall, they didn't commit to a specific time.
Right.
They said they're going to, but they didn't. They were not like, "Oh, you're going to get it for X amount of years."
Well, so if we get Max Brass in July, and we get Lollipop in, and we call that the Max Brass was the summer character, then we get a fall character, a winter character, and a spring character, and they're probably done.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah. So I think you're probably right about that. I would really like to see them add some online function, like some of the app support with this next update as well. I don't think that's probably being too hopeful, but yeah, so the character is Lollipop. She seems like she's French.
She's a horrific clown.
She's a disgusting clown is what she is.
To celebrate, yes, thank you. To coincide with the release of the remake of It, they have created this character.
Wow. Can I just say, though, that I called Taffy Arms.
Yeah.
And she has Taffy Arms.
Yeah, and I love that she...
Oh, does she?
Yeah, and I love that she has Nerf nunchucks as one of her weapons.
And, like, Stamper weapons. Did you notice that in the trailer? And she has those...
Oh, yeah, she stamps the screen.
Like the missile, the vertical missile launchers.
The three medical.
But like when she hits, it makes this clown face stamp on the opponent's screen.
So similar to what's his name? Helix's blinding thing, right? Like it's a similar effect.
Yeah. She also has one of her signature arms is a shield that not only blocks the attack, but it reflects the opponent's arm back to them.
Yeah.
So which I thought really was cool. Really interesting.
And I don't really understand her ability other than when she blocks, she inflates. Or I think when she blocks, if she's aerial then and you block with her, it looked like maybe she stomps down on the ground or something like that.
No, I did it on the ground too. Like she blew up on the ground.
Right, but if she is in the air and she inflates, she stomps down on the ground when she does it. So I don't know. It's kind of cool. It's a cool new character. My daughter is 4 years old and she instantly was like, that's my favorite character, I love Lollipop. She was like super excited when I showed it to her. So just because, you know, kids and like little girls and
kids nowadays,
I knew as soon as I saw it, it's like, yeah, no, this is the one that she's gonna like the most. So it's it's pretty funny. It's a cool, I don't know, it's an interesting character design. It's different from everybody else. So I like it. I think I'm looking forward to it. I actually kind of wanted this is a good reason for me to get back into that game. So we shall see. Let's see here. Finally, we got a whole bunch of stuff from Gamescom. Justin, what do you got any highlights from this?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a couple of highlights that I want to extract. Like my favorite highlight, well, I'll start with this. Like the quick rundown is this, Fee is coming to the Nintendo Switch from, Zoink Games. This was kind of rumored or thought of a while ago, but they couldn't confirm it, but they officially did confirm it. If you have not, check out this trailer. We'll actually put it on our Twitter page as well. It is a very arty, very cool, looking video, and game. So we're excited about that one, I think. And, good to hear that Zoink Games has some other games on the docket as well. The one after that is that it was heavily rumored at the Square Enix conference that Square Enix wants to bring Final Fantasy XV to the Nintendo Switch and is looking into it. Now, they have not officially renounced exactly that they are, but they said straight out they want to. So that's, I think, kind of cool and kind of exciting. This shouldn't be a big shock either, as we have seen Square Enix relationship with Nintendo increase over the last several years. So, you know, what version of Final Fantasy 15 we get, if we get any, will be interesting to see. Another thing that came out of it is Telltale Games came out and said that you should be expecting to see more of their games on the Nintendo eShop sooner than not. They haven't confirmed what games those are, but the big rumors and the big kind of listings right now is that it is Batman from Telltale Games, and as well as Guardians of the Galaxy. So nothing official, but more kind of rumors and speculations and statements on that. But probably the big one that I am the most excited about, and I think this group overall is excited about, is Rocket League has announced and shown specific vehicles for Nintendo. They did this in a trailer. You can find that on our Twitter page and Facebook page as well, by the way. And they released and they announced three vehicles to start off with. And they are free downloads. And that is a Mario car, a Luigi car, and a Samus gunship. Which looks sweet, and basically the entire internet blew their mind over and thought it was amazing. So that's really, really quite exciting. That's kind of what's happening in Gamescom right now. Now, Gamescom does continue for the next several days as well, so we expect more news to come out of there. But that's kind of what's going on over in Germany.
Very cool. I did see the Rocket League thing, and I'm excited for that. It's so do we know for sure that if you're playing Rocket League on the Switch, and you use these skins, are you like, will that show up if you're playing against somebody who's on like PS4 or something like that?
My understanding is it will,
but they won't be doing
it on PS4 anyway, because they were
on Xbox. Yeah, sorry, Xbox then, or PC. Yeah, that's my all I want is to have that skin or use that vehicle and to not and for people to not be able to use it unless they're playing on the Switch, but then have everybody be jealous. That's what I want.
That gets into some weird territory, but I mean, surely there's going to be like Xbox exclusive skins. Do they have those?
I don't know. It doesn't really bother me if they do.
I think they've released Xbox specific.
I don't think that it's probably a huge chore on the processor to show, you know, or the system to show another skin.
No, and as I recall, the developers were on Nintendo Voice Chat recently, and I mean, and I haven't played Rocket League because I only have 8 Nintendo products, but essentially the vehicles with the skins, they don't give any special powers. They just or special stats or anything. They just have a new look to them. That's all. There's no like big, you know, if I play with a Mario car versus or Samus car versus something else, there's no, what's the word I'm looking here for? Like, it's not going to increase my chances of winning. It's not going to, you know, give me stats or anything. It's just going to be like, that's the vehicle I choose, right? It's what you want to drive. So I don't know. Does anyone play Rocket League here that could support that?
Yeah. The thing that struck me about these is like, that, you know, they don't look like some cheesy IP use, you know, like it's not some just like
the Mario and Luigi ones kind of remind me of those Wiimotes that they made of Mario and Luigi, like where it's just like,
more so the Samus one, I guess what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
I think immediately when I saw that trailer and it ended, I was like, oh my God, make every Nintendo property a Rocket League car.
Yep.
I would very highly suspect that we are going to see more Nintendo cars come out as we get closer and closer to Rocket League, which again, they have not provided an official date for, but merely holiday of 2017 as well.
Yeah. If this is a trend that we're going to get, I'm just looking forward to the day that I'm playing Overwatch and can play with a Bowser Roadhog skin and nobody else can use it. That's all I want.
Why did you have to say that?
Would that be awesome? Oh, I'd be so good. So that is that's Gamescom. That's the news.
Josh, are you excited about any of these things that we called, like whether it's Rocket League or whether it's Final Fantasy 15? Any of these things float your boat? Fee, I think we mentioned a little bit of that in the
Fee
pre-show.
Looks so good. Oh,
wait, Josh, what are you going on here, buddy? Is any of this cool to you?
I'm definitely interested in Fee. I think that looks very, very cool. Lots of atmosphere in that. Seems like the kind of game I'd really like. So I'll be picking that up. I remember seeing that at E3, I think it was this year, and I was really interested. Rocket League I own, so I kind of feel like I'd be buying the same game again. And it's really fun. I do like
what
Rocket
do you play
League.
It on?
And
what have you been playing it on?
I've been playing it on Steam.
Okay, cool.
It's like one of 4 games that I own on Steam.
Nice.
But the idea of being able to play that like split screen, maybe we could play some of that on like the Fold or something and just hang out on the couch and play that kind of thing is appealing enough to me to where it would feel different. So I probably will get it.
Very cool.
Not for the Nintendo exclusive stuff though. I think the Mario and Luigi things are just like exactly what I assumed they would look like.
Yeah.
Right.
There was not much of a surprise there. That's, you know, but the Samus one looks really neat. And I do like the idea of Nintendo making an effort to make Metroid a little bit more mainstream in a way, you know, to kind of put it out there so more people will know what Metroid is beyond Nintendo's hardcore fan base.
Yeah, they and I want to sit in that pocket there for a second, Josh. They are giving Metroid some heavy love this last 3 months, right? Between the announcement of the 2DS game, which is coming out here in a month, the game coming to the Switch, the actual 2DS skin, the amiibos, they announced the vehicle for Metroid immediately. Like, you know, they didn't announce anything else. Like, they could have announced Splatoon, they could have announced an ARMS theme one. They went straight to Metroid. Like, they're giving some mad love to Metroid. Why do you guys think there's a change in tone around Metroid? I mean, obviously fans have been clamoring for it for a while, but why is Nintendo maybe all of a sudden shifting or changing their tone? Or is it just
there's a new game coming out,
right? Yeah, but
to promote it,
it is coming out, but I mean the 3DS game comes out in a month, right? And I mean, some of those things are definitely tied together, but then you've got, I don't know, it just feels like it's a lot all of a sudden.
It's been languishing in the corner for the past, you know, however many years, and all of a sudden Nintendo's like, oh yeah, Metroid, we remember that.
Yeah, it feels like feast or famine right now. Do you know what I mean? And I don't know.
And it kind of feels like on the opposite end, like Metroid, Animal Crossing is now where Metroid's been.
Mm-hmm. Dead?
Nobody puts Animal Crossing in the corner. Nobody.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I know a lot of people who are saying, like, okay, Nintendo, it's been so many years since New Leaf came out. And yeah, we got the new update and it's great. Amiibo support and whatever, but like, where's the new Animal Crossing?
But,
you know?
But Zach, sorry. Marty, the difference is nobody gives a rat's about Animal Crossing. Nobody cares. It's so a dumb series.
What? It's poison in my ear. What was that? Nails on a chalkboard.
I think to answer your question, Justin, I think the part of it is that Nintendo right now is really trying to gain back some of the languished audience, right? Like there is a certain audience out there that has real nostalgia for Metroid specifically, that basically will just pick up something because it's got Metroid on it, right? And I think that is something, you know, bringing back Metroid Prime specifically too is like, okay, let's get this back in. There's a little bit of an audience there and a niche there that is not served by any of Nintendo's other franchises. And so it also has a certain air of seriousness and maturity that a lot of their other IPs don't have. Even Zelda doesn't really have that same level of maturity that Metroid does. So sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to point that out. I realized this like a few months back, just thinking about it. No other Nintendo franchise is as like adult or serious as the Metroid series is.
Yeah.
That's why I was so shocked to see Federation Force, which was just so goofy. Because like even Zelda, even like the darkest Zelda game, which might be like Twilight Princess or Majora's Mask, it still has the like silly characters in a Speedo saying like, oh, you're like, hello, mate, go. You know, there's like a goofy era to it, even in the darkness. But with Metroid, there's it's just really kind of like serious and more mature. And so
and any sort of lighthearted thing that you would put into a Metroid game would be out of place.
It would stand out like crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so, like if they gave everybody chibified heads, that would definitely make it seem very odd.
It definitely would. Yeah, I would agree with you on that one. So that's all the stuff coming. I'm excited though. I'm looking forward to all the stuff coming up. We got Mario and Rabbids coming soon. We've got Metroid coming soon. We've got Pokken Tournament, which, by the way, it's 20 after 10. I'm going to start downloading this demo, and we'll see how things go. But that is pretty cool, and we've got lots of – I mean, it's still a really good time to be a Switch owner and a Nintendo fan. So let's head into one
and if point. And if you're playing Sonic Mania – sorry.
Dude, hey, look, man, I'm going to talk about Sonic Mania in a minute here, but we'll get to it. Let's get into what we've been playing.
Do it.
All right. So, Josh, you are our guest here, and you have been playing Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle. Now, what are you allowed to say? I don't want you to get in trouble from the powers that be. However, I do, you know, you specifically said that you wanted to come onto our show to break an NDA, so that's what we're here for.
Listen, Ubisoft has been very kind to me, so let me go ahead and just tell you how the game ends. No, I'm allowed to talk about the first two worlds, and I can't really talk in terms of like review lingo.
Okay.
Sure. I believe you can't post footage of it until the 25th either. But other than that, the review is, or the embargo is pretty much that. So I feel I can talk about it. It's fun, and it's actually at times I find myself having more fun with it than I had anticipated, because you know when I heard Mario and Rabbids originally, I was like, that's a crazy thing. And then I saw the gameplay, and I was like, they went in this like weird genre that I'm not really into. Because it's kind of like, you know, tactical, slower pace, you really have to think. Anytime you have to think, I'm kind of like, oh, this isn't for me. it's really
no
fun.
Thanks.
It's very weird to see the two worlds fused together. There's a lot of moments where, you know, I mean, like, imagine a bonsai Bill, but instead of majestically flying through the air, he's caught in a giant pair of underpants and just looking really sad. there are a lot of moments like that. And it's really interesting because the game, like, will put these little cute decorations and cute animations on the sidelines of the world as you're walking around. And you can go up to it and hit A, and you can kind of do a little cutscene in a way to, like, look at what's going on. And those are kind of how the game injects a lot of humor. I like those a lot. And it's just, it's really weird seeing, like, I don't know if I can mention that. I almost just let something go there. But it's just, it's fun. I'm enjoying it. It's a cute game. And I think it's, for me, it was a reason to turn my Switch back on because I hadn't been playing it for a long time. I'm enjoying the gameplay more than I originally thought I would enjoy a game like that. And
so do you have a history with games like Fire Emblem or
I
XCOM
have a history in the sense that I hate them.
Okay. And so and you and I
are so alike.
And so what you're saying is that this is more enjoyable than those for you.
I feel so, because in Fire Emblem, if I remember correctly, when you would hit enemies on the overworld map, it would bring you into like a battle sequence, right?
Right. Well, you could turn that off, but yes. Yeah.
Okay. This doesn't have like, you know, you run into enemies on the map and it doesn't like pan into like a battle sequence type deal.
It's snappier that way then. Okay.
Right. It's all just kind of instantly. And it's really... I mean, it feels clever. There's a lot of different varieties of rabbids, and they all have different cute costumes, which like are their abilities. Like some of them are cactus rabbids, and they've got like little spiky butts and stuff. There's a lot of personality in the game. And I don't know if it's because I don't really have any other game I feel like playing on the Switch, or if it's because it's just genuinely really fun, but I really kind of got addicted to the gameplay. Mm-hmm. And it's really... really interesting. I don't know. I will say this. Like, I don't know if I could see a young child loving playing it.
That's my concern because, about this game.
Yeah, that's right. The question.
See, yeah, like I have a friend who has like a 4-year-old boy who didn't know what the rabbids were. He loves Mario and he saw the trailer, like the original E3 thing. And he's like, oh, you know, he watched it like 50 times because he just liked the little rabbits in Mario and stuff. Then I kind of think like, oh, man, I don't know if I can see somebody like a young kid wanting to play this slow-paced tactical game, especially, yeah. I don't know if they'd be able to successfully do it, because there's a lot of like needing to know the different types and how to, like, you know, some of them you can't attack from the front because they have a shield, so you have to go around and juke them and stuff.
Those tactical games are definitely more cerebral than is your traditional Mario game.
Right, mm-hmm. And that's what Mr. Miyamoto had requested at Ubisoft. He's like, okay, you know, I'm going to let you guys work with Mario, but it has to be something that we've never seen with Mario before. And they succeeded with that, it seems. But I also wonder if, like, you have these two IPs that are so, like, casual and kid-friendly, and you put them together in a game that seems like it appeals to people who are, like, into, you know, Dungeons and Dragons and mathematics and stuff. It seems like it's more of a core gameplay.
So it sounds like a game that if you're going to play with your kids, depending on the age, obviously, right, that this is probably a sit down and play with them together, right? Like, hey, as opposed to just let them kind of on their, you know, let them loose on their own devices.
There is a way to play in easy mode. Every time you enter a battle, it's like, hey, would you like 50 plus health and something, you know, it kind of like gimps it for you. Yeah. So maybe I think if a child could understand the basic fundamentals of you move around and you take turns, they might actually be able to pull it off. I mean, kids are smarter than I might be giving them credit when it comes to this stuff. But I don't know if they would look at it as fun. They might look at the animations as, oh, I love these animations, but I'm bored. So really, in a way, this is a Mario and Rabbids game that seems like it really appeals to a hardcore audience more than a casual younger audience, I feel.
Mm-hmm. Right. Very cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I definitely know that my kids, you know, I mentioned, well, as you mentioned, Josh, like I showed my kids this trailer and they're like, oh my, that's amazing. That's awesome. And mm-hmm. We're picking it up next week and they're like, oh, that's really cool. We're excited for that. And, but my fear is the strong, you know, is the sharp reality of what it is marketed as or pitched as from an audience perspective versus, you know, who the actual target audience is.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the weird thing. Yeah.
That is definitely. And we raised that. I mean, a lot of people have raised that since the very beginning. So I'm very interested to see, you know, to actually get the hands on and see how it actually goes. But yeah, you are right. That is my concern.
Mm-hmm. But it's very unique and it's clearly made with a lot of love. So I'm not reviewing it right now for the record, for legality reasons. This isn't a review.
It's a preview.
Yeah. It's just, you know, I think I can say that I'm enjoying it. And I'm not usually somebody who likes those kind of games. I mean, I don't like Fire Emblem, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm concerned about is, you know, I generally in the past, I have not liked tactical games, you know, like mm-hmm. Mega Man Battle Network, Fire Emblem, Disgaea.
Right.
Not a fan of those. So I did like the Steam World Heist. Which okay. is mm-hmm. a different take on it, mm-hmm. but still the fundamentals are there. Mm-hmm. So this is a game I want to like. I just don't know if I'm going to like it yet until I actually see it.
You know, I think one of the things for me that kind of makes me want to put a little effort into loving it is it's oozing with silliness and color and just, you know, the cutscenes and the character animations and the gameplay. It's very cartoony.
Yeah, so did Color Splash, but that game pissed me off.
Tell us how you really feel.
Some really passionate about that, aren't you there?
Burst of anger there from Jesse. But yeah, I mean, it's yeah. Like I said, though, it is also a very pretty game. Like, there's some just gorgeous lighting, and the characters look great. They look a little plasticky. The characters do, the Mario characters specifically, but they look nice still. So it's yeah.
We're seeing that's what in the chat, a lot of people are saying, you know, a demo would really help on this game. And I
really, yeah, actually, I
totally, I have said that for a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, for me, a lot of the times I'll play a demo and then I won't want to buy a game. I'll be like ARMS. I played the demo and I was like, all right, that's all I need. But I really think with this game, if it's a well done demo that gives you enough to know what's going on and it gives you some stuff that's fun, it could definitely sell the game. I think playing this game is believing in a way.
Mm. Very cool. Right
it's
on.
It's very tricky. It gets very difficult. I will say that too.
Nice. Right on. Anything else you've been playing, dude?
Well, I mean, I think you know the other game I've been playing, but I think that's coming up a little bit later, right, Justin? All right, Justin?
You know what?
I think
we can just do it now. So I will get into it. I only really have been playing. I played a little bit of Splatoon, and it is what it is. But I have been playing. You know, it's just more Splatoon. You know, just playing it.
Splatoon 1.2.
Yeah, we've been talking about that one a lot. But I did play quite a bit of Sonic Mania, and I understand, you know, Josh, you and I had a little bit of a back and forth, not a whole lot, but, because it was funny because immediately your, all of your fans just started saying wonderful things about you as soon as you said anything about it. So that was nice of them. I'm going to sidebar for just a second. It amazes me. How anytime you say anything on Twitter, there is a litany of like, there's just like a horde of people who are waiting for you to say anything so that they can insult you. It is amazing.
You know what? I love it though, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
It's just like, wow. Like, what is even going on right now? I don't understand. So that's all I really wanted to say about that is just to note that that exists and to celebrate it in our own way. Mm-hmm. So Sonic Mania, I think that for me at least, something that's really going to be a predictor of whether or not you enjoy this game is whether or not you played the original or the original games and how much you enjoyed it. I think that, like, if those were games that you enjoyed back in the day, then Sonic Mania, man, is like one of the most true exciting reimagining, or basically it's like a remake, really, right? It's like a remake of these original games. They've changed all sorts of stuff. It's not just a remake, but it is exactly the same Sonic that you remember, both good and bad, right? Granted. And I think that some of the things that people do not like about the Sonic games, I personally feel like those are things that, how do I put this? That like it does kind of come down to preference, right? Where for example, in a lot of people will complain about Sonic games about how you're running super fast, and then all of a sudden there's this thing, there's spikes here or whatever, right? This game is designed more for, I think, for especially the Sonic games were designed more to be played over and over again, like to learn the levels and learn when are you like, where do I go in this area? Where, like, how do I jump super fast and get through as fast as you can, or to learn all the little secrets of the levels? And this game has that in spades, right? Like, you can tell the first, like, I haven't actually beaten the whole thing yet. I just got today to what's the lava reef zone, I want to say. So I've just got a couple more zones left, I think. But basically, like, the first time you play through this game, you realize, holy crap, I'm missing all sorts of stuff. I'm just getting through. I'm just trying to beat it. But there's so much stuff in, if you are wanting to get through, go through and unlock everything, there's tons there. So I really, really enjoy this game. I've been really liking all of the bosses that are in it. I will say that it is... you know, it is still Sonic, and so if you don't like Sonic games, I don't really know what to tell you. It is a Sonic game, but it's something that is that I really have been enjoying. So, I don't know what is you had things to say, and like there was going to be a debate going on here, and I don't want to under deliver on that promise either. So what's going on?
Okay. So I solved a mystery that has been plaguing the gaming community for, I think, decades now. And that mystery is, why can't Sega make a good 3D Sonic game? And the answer to this riddle is, there's not a good 2D Sonic game. There's nothing to go off. In order to build a building, there has to be a structure there to begin with. Otherwise, it'll keep collapsing. There's got to be a foundation. And the foundation of Sonic the Hedgehog is, hey, that Nintendo company has a really popular character called Mario. Let's make something to directly compete with it. And that's Sonic's DNA. Sonic's DNA is marketing. He's literally designed to be marketed to kids to be the cool version of Mario. He runs fast. He's wearing sneakers. He's got spiky hair. He's got an attitude. Everything Mario isn't. And that's the DNA of Sonic. Not anything to do with gameplay, just how can we market a character to children to get them to buy this video game console. And the reason I feel this way is there are so many contradictory ideas in the gameplay of Sonic. It's a character that runs fast, but it's a level filled with hazards every pixel of the screen. And the stages are a maze. That's not logical in a game where you run very fast. They want you to explore the levels. So you're saying to replay the levels again and again, but I'm not going to want to replay the levels if I didn't have a fun time my first time playing them. So there's a problem that comes up right then and there.
Right. Okay.
Also, he stinks and he smells bad.
Yes. Okay.
Basically, I don't... what you just described, Josh, is a video game version of Poochie the dog from The Simpsons.
That's literally Sonic. Sonic is Poochie.
Okay, so, ooh, so got it. Okay, so
gotta
you're,
go fast.
I'm trying to understand what is your complaint against this then? Like that it's
okay.
Not...
Well, I will throw you a bone here.
Okay.
I had never played a Sonic the Hedgehog game, original 2D Sonic the Hedgehog. Okay, right. I did at a friend's house for maybe like 5 minutes, and it was like the co-op thing. Okay, so my memories are just nothing. Mm-hmm. So when I went into this, I was thinking, oh, it's Hedgehog Mario, basically. Just, you know, you run from left to right of the screen and all that. Nothing could be further from the truth.
It's totally
Sonic
not that.
The Hedgehog is nothing like Mario.
Yeah,
the level design, especially, it's completely different.
Yeah.
So that was what was
It's much more vertical and like. You may be going right to left as often as you're going left to right, which if you're only used to playing Mario games, that can be a really confusing sort of situation.
I thought I was going the wrong way when I would go left. I was like, wait a minute, this isn't the right way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's much more challenging that way for sure. It's just different. Right. Keep going.
Well, I know. I just feel like the levels are kind of a mess, too. Like, it repeats a bunch of stuff, and there's no, like, cohesive thing going on. Like, there's moments where I'll see something, I'll be like, hey, that's cute. Like, there's an area with, like, popcorn. Like, it starts popping, and you go up and stuff, and I was like, hey, that's cute. But then it's like, I had no placement of what was happening in levels. Like, I can't. Like, in a Mario level, it's very specifically themed. Like, you get an atmosphere from a Mario level. But from a lot of these Sonic Mania levels, it's just like, you put this in, and this in, and this, and this, and throw a kitchen sink in here, and then this happens, and this. And so my brain can't wrap itself around what I'm looking at. It's just constant mess.
Okay, yeah. So in other words, what I would say to that, too, is that the Sonic levels, like you're saying, a Mario level has a theme within them, whereas Sonic levels are created, and it seems like they're designed more as, instead of a sort of theme that goes through the entire level, it's like the levels are almost designed as in as like a series of moments, right? Where like, or events that happen. So you'll go through, and maybe a good example is like the Studiopolis, I think, or something like that.
That's the level that stands out most to me, I think.
Where it's like, where it is very, you know, it's very erratic, right? And very all over the place. But there are moments there where you're like, oh, suddenly I reached this van, right? This TV van or whatever it is, the broadcast van. And now all of a sudden I'm blasting all over as radio waves, right? Mm-hmm.
I'm not. The game is doing it for me.
The game, yeah, exactly. And I think that is something that is, I think, more of a legitimate complaint against the game is like, okay, let me play the game instead of you know, not playing the game. Like, you're just kind of all over the place, which sometimes I think there are moments where the pacing is I wouldn't necessarily say I have a problem with the pacing in this game. It's just that it's something that is much different than a Mario game, right? Where you are going insanely fast through the levels and you're covering a lot of ground. But also something I'm noticing in this game that I don't know if I was a kid when I played the original Sonic games. Like, I played two, I owned two, and I owned Sonic and Knuckles, and my cousin owned three. And so we had like, we played a ton of Sonic as a kid. And so I would, but I don't remember having the levels be designed in a way where you would, very specifically want to stop in a specific spot or like jump off of while you're going super fast, jump off to get a secret, like jump off of the ramp in a certain way. Maybe that is something that I just never really picked up on, but yeah, that was a thing. So I'm really enjoying it. I really don't have a whole lot of bad things to say about it other than sometimes the levels do get a little bit like, especially as you get farther along where you're like, okay, like, what are you actually asking me to do here? Some of the bosses later on, like the end boss of shoot, what's the level I just beat? Oil Ocean was particularly challenging.
It was ridiculous.
It was really challenging. But also when I figured it out, I was like, oh, okay, I got it. And
yeah,
and it actually felt really good.
Here's a complaint, and I'm glad you mentioned bosses. The biggest complaint that I've had about the game so far is this. This has been boss fights as a rule in Sonic games, mm-hmm. is they're not intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you play Mario, and I hate to come back to the Mario comparison because, yeah, Sonic was started to compete with Mario, but I mean, they've taken two decidedly different paths. You know, when you're playing Mario 64 and Bowser drops down on the stage and you see four spike balls sitting around, you know, and you can run around him and grab his, like, you kind of, that's kind of intuitive.
It's,
you know,
intelligent, like, design.
You get it eventually.
Did you say intelligent design?
It's intelligent design. You know, that's how Nintendo is brilliant at doing that in their games. Like, tutorials without even putting a tutorial. They just,
When you're playing like Super Mario World, for instance, and you get to the first boss of, you know, Yoshi Island or whatever, that first zone, you know that if you, like, the first time you stomp on him, you notice he's going the way that the island is tilted. Mm-hmm. And you learn, I've got to stomp on him and knock him off the edge. Okay, you get that. The very first boss, like, end boss in Sonic Mania, the Green Hill Zone boss, is like the giant egg robot, you know? Took me 5 lives to realize, hey, you got to jump up on this thing's arm and hit it in the head. It never told me that. like, because it starts auto-scrolling and it's doing these, you know, random missile things, my first thought was like, okay, do I jump and hit the missiles back at? No. Okay, well, that knocked all my rings out. Do I outrun it? No, apparently not. But maybe I didn't step in the right place. So let me try that again. So I outlast it again, and then it pushes me off the edge again. And finally, I jump and get on the arm, and Tails, not me, Tails hits its head, and I'm like, oh, that's what it is. Like, the weak point doesn't even glow or flash or anything on most bosses. So I get, you know, that it, you know, you don't want to give it completely away, but come on, you know, throw people a bone there. Especially some of the bosses make no sense. Another one is, and Zach, you're probably going to hate me for this, Hydro City Zone, which you were freaking out about the music.
I love
on
that.
I love the music
on that one.
Okay. So that probably is the worst end boss.
I'm trying to remember what the end boss was.
It's the one where Sonic is in, it flips the script. Sonic is the one that's in a machine, and he's in thing with a propeller on the bottom of it.
I didn't mind that one so much, but
it could shoot depth charges for no reason. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm shooting these little bombs and they're bouncing off Dr. Robotnik, and they're just bouncing. I'm like, okay, what have I got to do? Well, finally I figure out that you can hit another button, which there are no prompts for.
Mm-hmm.
You can hit another button and suck him up, and he'll fly up the waterfall that the water you're sucking up into the bottom of the thing. And if you hit him and not a bomb, he'll take damage. Mm-hmm. Totally.
So the,
not yeah, intuitive.
So the depth charges, by the way, were there so that you could, because he's dropping things as well, that the little bombs that when you suck up the whatever, the bombs are there as well. So you use the depth charges to eliminate the bombs, that which makes it easier to suck him up and not get hit by the
right.
Suck up the bombs. Right.
But the thing was, is that by the time I got a depth charge into the water, it hit him and he just laid another bomb. So I was like, these are worthless.
Yeah.
My whole point is like the level design, whatever you want to think about it, I've had so much fun with the game until it got to the boss fights.
Mm-hmm.
And those should be big deals. Those should be fun. Those should be like super intuitive. So it's fun. Like, so you, not so you have to worry so much about the controls, but you create something, you create an atmosphere by how the fight goes, not trying to figure out how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you actually brought up a really good point, Marty, that I almost totally forgot. While playing the game, quite a few times I would get sort of hit or something bad would happen to me because of Tails activating a trap or moving a platform. Like, I'd go to jump on a platform, Tails would jump on it before me and it would move, and I would like fall in the lava underneath it or something. So Tails has screwed me over so many times that I think one time I was literally just yelled at the TV for how angry I was at Tails screwing me up. So I don't know, what is the point of Tails?
So if you have a second player, Tails will, you can control it.
Okay. Tails is the cheap version of Luigi.
Okay. I see.
Not that the two of you can get very far apart from each other.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So if there is a second
also
player,
pick Sonic can jump up and grab onto Tails.
Yeah. So if you have a second player controlling Tails, Tails can fly and then Sonic can grab on and Tails can carry him a limited distance.
You're talking about the boss battles. I watched a video from Game Explained about with them fighting the final boss, and there was like no visual cues at all that you were doing any damage. So I don't know if there's audio cues or not, because they didn't have the game audio because they were talking over it. But that when I'm expecting both video, audio and visual cues to know that I'm doing anything. So that would be just frustrating to me if I was playing this.
Here's a question for you guys. Why is the two-player there's a challenge mode, you know? Why is that running in a 4:3 aspect ratio?
Wait,
it's stretched, right? Like, the whole thing is stretched. So it's like a retro 4:3 aspect, like, you know, like an old TV that would be like a square, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they just stretched the image to make it look horribly ugly. I don't know if that's like an in-joke or something. People were telling me they did that on purpose so it felt retro. But I was like, all right, well, then why is the normal game not like that?
Hmm.
And yeah, I don't know. Nobody has pointed this out.
I don't know.
It's not a huge problem, but it's a strange, strange thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. That's
either. Are you looking now? Or
I don't know.
I know there's a CRT mode that you can put the graphics.
Yeah, CRT mode is not.
It's like you're playing it on an old TV.
If you hate your eyes, you can do that for some reason.
It doesn't look very good. Yeah, no, you're right. Like it's not a great filter. Like compared to like the NES Classic filter that exists. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
You know, I will say this though. I can still have fun with a game that I think is bad. And even though I do think Sonic Mania I'm like kind of shocked by the fact that people love it. I'm not like saying they're wrong, but I can still have fun with it for like maybe, you know, putting it in for 10 minutes or something and beating a level and just, you know.
How much of the enjoyment and love do you think is because of the nostalgia?
99% of it.
Yeah, because I never played Sonic growing up at all. And I'm going to be honest, like I've listened to a lot of other podcasts who've given this game quite favorable reviews, and I'm really tempted to pull the trigger on it. But I'm kind of stuck in a little bit of some of the loop that you're actually stuck in, Josh, right? Like I want a platformer. I don't want to be pushed through a level. I want to explore. Like, I just don't know if it'll scratch my itch. And I played some Sonic games growing up as a kid. Like, you know, my friend would have a Sega cause he had poor taste. So I would play that, or I'd give that a shot. And,
unbelievable.
And I didn't care much for it. Do you mean like it just didn't do what Nintendo does.
That's that's how I felt growing up as a kid. Like I had a friend who would have like the Sega system and stuff, and I just felt like this is not as good as Mario. This is
silly. Well, and I kind of like wonder like is you know, and I don't want to be, you know, like I was, you know, dramatically tragic upgrowing in the 90s as like a Nintendo kid, right? But I mean, you know, back in the 90s you were either a Nintendo kid or you're a Sega kid, right? Like there was Playground Park Brawls. You know, over which character was better, right? There was this kind of fine line drawn between Montagues and Capulets, uh-huh. And none shall pass, right? And
easy there, Shakespeare.
Except for in my case, where it was Atari versus Intellivision.
Yeah, well, some of us aren't as old as you, right? I mean, that's something that happens. But I'm just curious how much of it's just attached to that nostalgia, right? We always look at things in rose-colored glasses. Shovel Knight's the exact same, right? It's very much like a Mega Man throwback, and it feels familiar, it feels comfortable. And I wonder how much of that is skew. I don't want to say skewing. Skewing is a wrong word because I think every reviewer, every person that plays it comes from it from their own personal perspective and experience that color their decision, right? And I wonder how much of that is associated with it.
I feel a large part.
Yeah, you feel like a large part, Zach. What are your thoughts on
it? I really don't. I think it's
or is it genuinely a good game? You could put in a monkey in spot of Sonic and they're chasing bananas.
I think it
sounds like a really good game.
I think that it's to disregard a game because like to eliminate the character design from to look at the game mechanics separate from character design. I think that they are kind of together, one, you know, they're relevant together, I guess is what I would say. And I don't I have a problem with that sort of argument or sort of theoretical situation. What I will say though is that I think that what may be going on right now is that a lot of people who were when you are having those nostalgic sort of experiences, you're not only what's going on too, is that you're kind of learning your own preferences for the kinds of games that you enjoy. Right. And like, and what maybe is going on is that people who never had experiences with Sonic, but are also, you know, big Mario fans, they're going into this thinking, this is how I like my platformers. So for example, and I think maybe that's really what colors a lot of the different kinds of what your preferences are even today. So for example, when I went and played Mutant Muds, it was boring. It was one of the most boring games, right? Like it was just not a good game. It was not a game that I personally enjoyed, because it was too slow. And I've always felt that way about that game. And yet any sort of a platformer that is a little bit more fast paced, a little bit more, you know, that sort of a thing where you can really get some speed going, then I actually enjoy it more. And I wonder if maybe that's what's going on too, is where people who played Mario are not used to this kind of a game. This is not something that they built any nostalgia for, haven't ever really had any positive feelings with. And so coming to this now, this is not the kind of game that they would expect. So, or that they've never had the kind of experience to tickle their nostalgia bone when they play this game. I don't know if that any of that made sense, but.
Yeah, it does. And I guess I'd ask you then, you know, I don't know if you can answer the question. Is there then a game that, that tickles the Nintendo individual's nostalgia that does not tickle the Sega kid's nostalgia bone?
I think Sonic, for example, there's this constant sort of battle between speed, but also it's not just speed, it's precision sometimes, right? Like kind of like steering a very fast car sometimes very in the direction, like there, it's almost like there's less control in order to really succeed with the game. I'm drawing a blank on specific kinds of, but like, I think a really good example is even comparing the new Mario Brothers series to this too, right? Where it's like, man, this feels a lot better for me than the new Super Mario Brothers series.
I'm going to say this as a huge, like, Zach, I'm the opposite of you, even though I had a Super Nintendo and a Sega Genesis at the exact same time. So I had my pick of games.
Living the high life, didn't have to pick a side.
Easy there, Switzerland.
Even though most of the time I was Super Nintendo. That's how it went. I can definitely say that Sonic Mania does a better job of capturing the original spirit of Sonic.
Mm-hmm.
Than the new Super Mario Brothers series did of the old retro Mario.
Seems accurate.
There's stuff about new Super Mario Brothers, that whole series, that to this day just bugs the crap out of me. Like, there's just things I don't like. And one of the big ones is, and I know that some people, this is their huge cup of tea, but I hate multiplayer co-op where you can bounce people down into chasms and throw them off the edges and all kinds of stuff. I cannot stand it. Mm-hmm. And new Super Mario Brothers Wii was the only way that I can enjoy that game is as a single player game.
Oh my gosh.
And like still there's things about that to me that just feel off. Mm-hmm. Like I was hoping that when we got 2D Mario, it wouldn't be like that forced 3D perspective. You know, everything's overly slick. I was kind of hoping we'd go back to more of like a pixelated look or more of a Super Mario World look, even hand drawn like Yoshi's Island, but Sonic just nails it. And I said that from day one, like playing it, I was like, I think this does a better job of retro than New Super Mario Brothers.
But see, I don't know if New Super Mario Brothers was, I mean, the very title actually tells you it wasn't. I don't think it was trying to play on purely nostalgia, though. I think they wanted people to feel like this is a new Super Mario Brothers game. This is a whole new, for the new generation and all that. So whereas Sonic Mania, I think, is like, okay, nobody likes the new Sonic stuff. Let's have like a fan just make a purely retro themed thing. And I think that's a lot of the compliments I'm hearing from people when it comes to Sonic Mania is, oh, this reminds me of classic Sonic I grew up with. Whereas New Super Mario Brothers, I think, was trying to do something that was more new. I actually thought New Super Mario Brothers DS was quite bad, even back in the day. I didn't really like it. I thought it was kind of boring and didn't really, you know. But yeah, I think the difference there is that I'd say New Super Mario Brothers isn't really trying to do the nostalgia thing. But I do agree with you that, Sonic Mania does feel like it's staying more true to the roots of the series.
Yeah, right on. So that's my piece on Sonic Mania. I'm still enjoying it. I anticipate I'll probably play through this game actually several times. It's just because of the you know, you can play as Sonic, you can play as all of that stuff. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be really fun. So that's where I'm at with that. That's the only game I'm really playing right now. So. I guess the only other complaint that I would have about it is the game overs in this game. It's 2017. We don't need to have game overs, or we don't need to have, you know, that you restart everything at the beginning of a zone. Like, that's a little bit, it's a little outdated and annoying. But other than that, I think it's pretty good. So,
By the way, I just want to make it real clear. Like, I'm happy for people that like the game. Like, Zach, I love the fact that you love it and are getting enjoyment out of it. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you're wrong.
Okay. Well, I
just I'm trying to put a little bit of a humble too much like a jerk.
No, and that's fine. And I appreciate you flip-flopping on that. That's great. So,
all right, I take it back. Anybody who likes the game is stupid.
right on. So, Justin, what have you been playing, dude?
You know what? I haven't been playing a lot other than Splatoon. That's it. Still enjoying it. Still playing it. Still trucking along. Getting excited to play Rabbids next week. That's the big things. Yeah.
Very cool. Right on. What about you, Marty?
Well, I have been playing Jackbox Party Pack 1 and 2, but I'm going to let Jesse talk about that because he's been playing a lot of that. And I've also been playing Forma 8, which is a game that has been provided to us by the developers there. I want to say it's – oh, my gosh. I can't
mixed
even –
bags. Mixed
Bags. Mixed Bag. That's right. Mixed Bag Games. And basically the premise of the game is you are a little scout robot that's sent down to a planet along with seven of your brethren, and you're the only one who survives, seemingly. And so you wake up or get reactivated on this – alien world, which is full of creatures that are completely in the shadow except for these glowing red eyes on them, and you have to find the remnants of your crew and steal their powers so that you can have like your first upgrade is like a little, like, I don't know if it's like a shield or a blast that goes out around your robot that kind of repels enemies and will eventually kill them. And then from there, I've gotten a bomb upgrade that you can either set and run away, or you can shoot by using the blast, the radial blast. And so far, it's been really good. Like shades of, I've heard a lot of people say like Out of This World, and things like that, like the old PC game Out of This World, where you're kind of like dumped on an alien world and you really don't know what to do at first. There's a lot of exploration. So yeah, Metroidvania type thing, but not a whole lot of emphasis on combat, more exploration, and just has a really great look to it and a really cool, atmospheric soundtrack at times. And so I'm really enjoying it. And, when I get done with it here in a couple of days, I'm probably going to do a review of it over on VGTribune.com. But like, if you like that type of game, it's like there is some combat, but it's very exploration heavy. It's kind of chill. Like, you could kind of just sit back, and it's not very fast paced. And, you know, I appreciate games like that now, where I may not have, a few years ago. So, so far, I'll say this, so far, like a thumbs up on it. But I say so far because I've only gotten to put about an hour and a half to 2 hours into it since I downloaded it. But I'm looking forward, like this weekend, I'm going to have to dig into it before Rabbids hits. So, and on top of that, I've been playing Miitopia a little bit too. I didn't list that in the doc, but, I am a, I finished like the main game, I guess, and have gone on to like the epilogue, where you find out there's two more areas that you can go to, and you get a dragon to fly you around. And, yeah, it's pretty fun.
Cool.
Right now, you also get quests from different Miis, and right now I'm on a quest from, and I don't know if like, I didn't pick this, the game just pulled it. There was a culinary chef who wants to go to a place called Pelicula, or Peculia.
Okay.
Who, because he heard that there's hamburgers there and he's never eaten a hamburger, and it's Guy Fieri.
Nice.
So I have Guy Fieri following my party around, basically doing Guy Fieri things.
That's
he's talking about texture and the savory and the sweet and how it mixes together. And
oh man, that's awesome. That's super cool.
It's Miitopia has just been such a cool ride. Like I'm so glad that I bought it, and I like it's actually, and I guess maybe this is what it was supposed to do for people, especially newcomers to RPGs, is it's like made me want to play more, which I've not done in a long time. So I'm excited for what I get to play after this.
Very cool. Right on. Marty, what about you, dude? Or Marty, Jesse, what have you been playing?
So yeah, I've also been playing more of Miitopia, and sounds like Marty, I finished the main story, and I checked my play log after, shortly after I did that, and I was surprised how long it was. It was, including the beta or the demo, because I discontinued my demo instead of starting over. It was just under 40 hours to beat the game.
Whoa. That's pretty significant, considering see, I remember hearing a review from somebody saying, oh yeah, it's only like 10 hours worth. Maybe it was.
Well, I think that's part of the problem, is it probably would have been a better 20 hour game than it was a 40 hour game.
It's probably 10 hours if you don't try to gold flag every level.
That's probably true, because I have been gold flagging everything, and I think you have too.
I have, yeah. I'm obsessed with that.
But, like the Final Fantasies and the Personas, it's got a really good, deep story that forces you on. This just has, there's the bad guy. Go get him.
Yeah.
And a little spoilery here, but I won't get into the details. But when you defeat the final boss, then you do get a little exposition that I might have liked to have 15 hours ago. And then after the fight, give me some more information. Give me some more to the story. Yeah. And it just, I'm wanting stories. I like the story-based RPGs. I don't know when you beat the game, Marty, but looks like every day you'll get 3 new quests. So even if you finish the quests, you go back the next day, you'll have more quests available. So I'm on my 3rd day of the extra quests, and I still haven't had a quest that required me to go to one of the 2 new lands.
Interesting.
So those are my immediate ones. I could either pick from Guy Fieri, who wanted me to go to Peculia, or Roseanne, the priest, who wanted me to take her to the snowy land.
Wasn't Peculia still one of the levels before the final boss? So
are you talking about the second time you fight the final boss?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. See, I've only fought him for the first time.
Oh, okay. So you
that's
haven't
where finished. I'm at.
So you haven't finished the game yet.
No, I have not.
Okay.
No. Okay.
All right. So
I get what you're saying now.
So we're not talking about 40 hours. That's 40 hours to credit roll, and you haven't gotten there yet. Got it.
Okay.
So after that, it'll open up another, there'll be more of the, you get 3 new quests a day that you can do, which opens up 2 new areas that wasn't available yet, even during the main game. So you got more stuff to look forward to, or dread, depending on your point of view. So yeah, I'm up to almost 2,300 faces saved.
Wow!
Holy cow! That's insane.
Yeah, and I haven't been even bothering with the food lately, just because I feel like I'm already OP'd from everything else I've been doing. So, and then the weapons and the armor that I've been buying lately are like 12,000 gold each.
Oh geez.
So these are, I'm into the high end game here.
Wow. So that's interesting that game goes for as long as it does then. like for it to be as as long as it is pretty interesting. Very cool.
And then with the sprinkles, you know, at the level I'm at, I literally have 800 sprinkles for hit points, you know, in my run.
Oh wow.
So if I didn't have any healers in my group, I can still just use the sprinkles to heal my party after every fight and I wouldn't have to worry about anything.
Nice. Right on. Very cool.
So definitely, you know, a game more for the younger kids who may not care about
the story.
My son
loves this game, by the way. I should say that. Like he, as you're saying, you know, for the young kids. When Nintendo sent... So I bought this game for myself, a copy of it, and then we found out, yeah, Nintendo's going to send us a copy of it and on that loan program. And so I had my son play the loaner game, and when that was over, he was like, do we really have to send it back? And I was like, I guess not. Yes, we do. And so I ended up sending Nintendo back my copy of it instead, so that he could keep playing it, because he was not having any of this whole passing it or, you know, giving his version of the game up. So I sent a cartridge back. Hopefully Nintendo's not like listening to this and being like, oh, that was totally not okay, but I sent him a copy back, so it shouldn't be a problem. But yeah. So he loved it. And I think that, like, you know, for a kid who's like, he's turning 7 really soon. He, you know, it's like the perfect game for him. And it's the kind of game too, where I'm like, where he'll come to me and, dad, I need help with this thing. And I'm like, dude, just read it. Like I really enjoy giving him these kinds of games because they're simple enough that he can read his way through it. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
Where it's like, no, dude, like you're learning how to read, read it yourself. And I'm not going to read it and get good, kid. Cause I'm not doing it for you. I'm sorry. and he's a good sport and he will actually try it and he's
I have no clue where my kid is in his copy of the game because he's restarted about 5 times.
Really?
And I'm like, why do you keep restarting? He goes, I don't know. And I'm like, are you getting to a part you can't beat? No, I'm just restarting it because this past time he was like, well, Annalise, my daughter, he's like, Annalise was mad because I made her the Dark Lord, and so I had to start over.
You're like, no, dude, you don't have to. You just go into the menu and change it.
Yeah, he didn't get that.
Yeah.
So
my son, of course, made me the Dark Lord, which, of course, like you do with your own father.
I do like how my game ended, and I'll probably wait another 2 weeks or two before doing the spoiler end of this to show what ended up happening at the end. But I like how mine ended.
Nice.
Because just like if you know JRPGs, what you think is the final boss is never the final boss.
Right.
So that should be no surprise to anybody. What ended up being the final boss, it worked out very well for me. And I'll explain that in a few weeks.
Awesome. I like it. right on. Anything else that you've been playing, dude, before we get into emails?
There's 2 more things I want to talk about. One's a quick one. Shantae's Half Genie Hero Pirate Queen's Quest DLC does not come out until next Friday to the public, but backers received their code yesterday.
Okay. Or at least
I received my code yesterday. So I was able, I put maybe, you know, 15 or 20 minutes into it before we recorded, you know, so you play as Risky Boots, kind of the storyline kind of starts out kind of near like the 2/3 part of the main story of the original story. And then Risky decides she wants to collect parts to upgrade the machine she stole. And so you go through the same levels that from the original game. And I don't know if this, the difficulty's ramped up or I just not good anymore, but I died like 3 times in the first level. And I'm like, not seeing myself getting far into this game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she has like her sword weapon and then a projectile weapon. The projectile weapon only does one damage initially, and that there was like no tutorial or explaining what she had. I just had to push buttons to figure it out, and I found the projectile weapon first. Of course, that got me nowhere, doing one damage. Then when I finally found the sword, it was doing five damage, and then I can actually start moving. But yeah, so yeah, I've never been a fan of difficult platformers. That's been known, like the Donkey Kong games. Mm-hmm. You know, never been a haven't of the recent ones. I haven't been a fan of so this is kind of along those lines. I think it's just, you know, a way more challenging platformer. It's like the original Shantae on steroids at this point. So I might try it again, but probably won't. Cool. But you know, I'm sure there's some people out there that'll like it. Okay, then last week I picked up the Jackbox Party Packs 1 and 2.
I didn't realize how expensive those old ones were. Like, I thought that they would be cheaper because they're older, but nope.
I was hoping they would be too. They are discounted to $20 each.
They
don't
are?
Know.
Yeah. They are $33 on the Canadian eShop.
I don't know if you have the discount.
Well, then, the original Jackbox launched at $19.99 on the American eShop. The Jackbox Party Pack 2 launched at $24.99.
Yeah. Yeah, they're both marked at $24.99 as normal price, and the first one was discounted to $20, and then later on the second one also got the same discount.
Oh wow, okay.
So I don't know how long that sale is going to go on, but you know the normal prices are $24.99.
It says if you own or buy, I'm looking at the page right now. It says if you own either the Jackbox Party Pack or Party Pack 3. You save 20% off this title.
Ah, that's what the discount is.
So if you buy more than one of them.
Okay, that makes sense. I missed that part. Okay, so one evening I sat down with the kids and we played all 10 games from both packs. And some of them we liked, some of them we didn't. I'm trying to remember what we did. So like then the first pack is like, You Don't Know Jack 2015, which is just their traditional trivia game that they're known for from the past. Drawful, which I think my oldest daughter liked that. I don't even remember how that game went, but there's a lot of doodling going on, and I'm normally not a fan of the drawing games.
Right.
Yeah, let's see.
Yeah, there's two drawing games. So there's right mm-hmm. between the two packs.
So there's Fibbage is the Fibbage in the first one or the second one?
It's in both. Fibbage and Fibbage 2.
Fibbage XL in the first, and then Fibbage 2 in the second.
Right.
So I have Jackbox Party Pack 1 and 2 on Steam. So I have played lots of these ones. I'm just pulling it up here just to see what I can get information wise. But yeah, it just seems really steep. I think I paid $20 on a Steam sale for 1 and 2. So like to get both of them. So I don't know. It's
that's possible.
It's a little steep for that, but also, I mean, if you can very easily get your money's worth out of this too, right? Like, It's pretty enjoyable. I really like
it. Yeah, in each pack, you'll probably find two or three games at least that you'll like. You know, you'll find one or two that you'll probably say never. It'll be like the TKO that you play it once and never play it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love TKO.
Oh, I can't stand that one. Anyway, like in two, there's a game called Earwax, which took us a while to figure out what the point was, but that ended up being cool. You're given a scenario and like what it sounds like when he jumps off a diving board. And then you're given these like audio clips that you have to answer the question by choosing two audio clips.
Hmm.
And then you people vote on which one they like the best.
Yeah. I think out of the first pack, You Don't Know Jack and Fibbage and Drawful are probably the three that are the good ones. Lye Swatter is awful.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that one.
It feels totally like just a tech demo. And then Word Spud is just weird. It doesn't have much of a game to it at all.
I don't remember what that one was.
It's the one where you type out, like, you finish a sentence or something, and then people vote on it. But, like, they can see your score in real time, so if people just want to bury you, they can totally do that.
Hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like a continuous word association. So I'm given a word, and I do a reply, and then everyone votes if they like it or not. If it's likes, then my word is the next word, and the next person gets to answer put the next word in, and that's it for like 3 minutes. And that wasn't fun. So I think the game that I liked the best out of all of them was from Party Pack 2, Bomb Corp.
Hmm. Oh yeah, that one's fantastic.
I don't know if I played that one.
It is. Every other game is a competitive game. This one is a co-op game. If one person loses, everyone loses. So I like the art style too. It's like Atari level graphics, you know. But you're this new employee in this business of company that makes bombs, and these bombs somehow always get lying around. So your job is to disarm the bombs before you blow up the entire company. And when the way it works, like you might get a bomb example that has four wires, like blue, blue, black, 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 black. And then each person will, between the three of you or however many players there are, you'll have all the steps you need to disarm the bomb properly. But each person only gets one or two pieces of it. So you all got to talk and work together and share your notes to figure out what the right way thing to do is. So like one example is, like, so if there's a red wire present, clip the third one. Okay, there's no red wires, so you don't clip anything. Someone else might have, you know, if there's a blue wire present, clip the fourth one. So, okay, there are blue red wires present, so the fourth one's a candidate. And then the last one is clip all the black wires, but don't clip number four, even if another clue tells you to. So now four is no longer a candidate, three is. Hmm. So you clip three, you end up clipping three, and then you win. And then, there's a lot of, my son, I think, was the biggest offender of that, is he wasn't talking loud enough so we can hear him. We got like all excited. Okay, four is the one. Clip. It exploded. Hmm. Why did it explode? Oh, this thing says you have to clip them from right to left. Or left to right. Oh, wow. I'm like, oh, I didn't get that clue. One of his clues was Agent Laffer had to be the one to clip number three. So I had, you know, I had to clip three while anyone else could have clipped any other ones. And that was another bomb. So the game starts out initially, only one of you have the buttons to snip the wires. But, you know, later on, you know, when you get to day two, and that's as far as we got because we suck, then everyone has all the buttons. So if, you know, the one of them, I was kind of thinking out loud in my head, okay, four is a candidate. My daughter got excited and pushed the four, and it exploded because someone else had a clue that said, don't clip four no matter what other clues say. And we just didn't get that far in reading the clues. So that's definitely one I want to play more often with some of my other friends.
I think another one that I really liked from Pack 2 was Quiplash. If you haven't played that one is it can be pretty, pretty ridiculous and fun. And that one, by far, I've gotten together with friends and family, and it is potentially, depending on who you're playing with, man, that game is just awesome. Yeah. I love that one.
I like Quiplash 2 as well, because Quiplash 2 is part of Pack 3.
Oh, was it?
So
okay.
We've played that before, but my kids aren't good at that game. Which kind of ruins the fun. You want other, you know, enough people that are quick-witted and funny, to make it enjoyable for everybody.
Yeah.
Because if we only have one person out of three having good answers, and one person and the other two are saying WTF or I don't know.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's
it, That's not fun.
That's
playing it with your kids when all their answers are like poop and boogers. And,
yeah, that's not really a,
you know,
yeah,
whatever else.
Although I will say playing with all of your siblings who are now all adults can be really, really fun. That was something that we did that it was a really fun time that we did over Christmas. And I would recommend it to anybody who has friends that they can make questionable humor jokes with, because that's definitely what this game is made for.
We have a group of friends that we play Cards Against Humanity with every once in a while. And go. I want to play Quiplash and the Bomb Corp with them. That will be hilarious.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's the same style of humor and sort of setup there for sure. Right on. Well, hey, holy crap, guys. We're almost 2 hours here. What do we want to do for emails here? Do we just have the one? Do we want to quickly do this? Justin, are you still awake? Or actually, you know what? Let's skip the email, and we're going to talk to Josh about this stuff, about his business here, if that's okay with everybody around the horn.
What did I do?
Do you have anything you want to talk about, or no? Yes or no? That's fine if the answer is no. No?
Let's talk about Justin and where he went for 5 minutes and why he has blood all over him right now.
Yeah, sorry about that. I had to go kill a small chicken in my backyard. Mm. It's just what I do. What I do.
Nice.
It's real tough Irish.
No, I mean, we talked about rabbits.
Yeah. And,
that's kind of what I've been doing.
But Josh, let's talk about you on the internet. You went away.
Yeah, Josh. Why do you hate YouTube? You're coming back.
I decided to live in a cavern, and I've been mining for gold. I'm working really hard on a bunch of big projects that I knew I wasn't going to be able to get done if I was trying to also balance like normal type of videos on a channel. So I was like, you know what?
If you weren't like so busy,
just focus.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead. I was just saying, I can understand that how you would have a hard time focusing on doing stuff when it's like, man, I also need to make a video about the top five Nintendo themed amusement park ride dreams or something. I don't know.
Exactly. I need to do a video about the Splatoon DLC or the arms thing or just like stuff like that. And that was just really distracting trying to like work on, cause like a lot of the stuff I'm doing is like, I need to be really focused on it. Otherwise it's going to be crappy.
Yep.
And that's going to be really disappointing if I leave for a month and then I come back. It's like, oh, this is really not what I thought you were going to be doing. Josh is pretty crappy. So it's been amazing though. I am completely almost off the grid except for Instagram, and it just feels liberating.
The kinds of things that he's putting on Instagram, man, you just got to be careful. anyways, I'm just going to leave that there. I'm really excited. If you guys aren't supporting Josh on Patreon, A, shame on you, and B, he's got all sorts of awesome previews and stuff like that going on too. So check that business out.
I made the mistake of saying, okay, I'm not making any more videos at this channel until late September, without saying, oh, by the way, also I have a Patreon. So it's just kind of a ghost down there. Sometimes like I'll share something, I'm like, I don't know who I'm sharing this for. The three active people that are on Patreon or what? I don't know. But I'm having a lot of fun doing different stuff. Like I'm so excited to be able to show the stuff and see what people's reaction will be. And it's good times.
Yeah. Right on, man. Well, I'm really, I'm looking forward to all of your cool stuff that you're doing. It's cool to be able to kind of, step back. I'm guessing, hey, and just be like, get back to why you got into this in the first place. Right. So,
oh yeah, exactly. Like sometimes I'll be working on something. Like I'm doing a lot of like clay sculpting of something. Mm-hmm. And I'll be doing it. I'll be like, this is really fun. I'm enjoying. Oh, wait, I should be doing work. And then I'm like, wait a minute. This is what I'm trying to turn into my work. So this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So it just feels really good. Like I'll see an announcement from Nintendo about like the DLC coming to ARMS with this new character. I'm like, I better talk about them. Like, wait a minute. No, I don't have to. I'm doing my job.
Nice.
So it's fun. I want to try to do something different And I don't know if I'll succeed at that or not, but I just feel like a lot of channels or just a lot of sites will do the same kind of thing, like cover the same news.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of felt like, you know what? That's not really why I wanted to start a YouTube channel. Why am I doing this? Other people can do this better and, you know, they can get it there. So what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see.
Yeah, well, good luck.
Let's talk about Nintendo Dad.
That takes a fair bit of self-reflection to understand that, you know what, I don't need to do this and that somebody else can do it better.
Oh, yeah.
That's a really good statement, because I think sometimes when you're trying to crack into something or find your footing, it's very easy to do what others are doing. And very often that kind of like who gets out first kind of mentality, right? Oh. Or what's my spin on it? And I know at times, if we're being honest, I think we've chased that a couple of times ourselves.
And it's that's a hard
thing to chase, right? And it's really, you're absolutely right. Other people can do it better. Why am I doing it?
Especially when Nintendo puts out news Thursday morning after we record a show Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you've got like Game Explain, you've got Switch Force, and they're all doing their thing. And it's just, I kind of felt like, well, why am I kind of doing the same basic thing? There's already people that have got this covered. And when I started doing like 10 years ago, because I'm older than dirt, I started doing the Nintendo stuff on YouTube. It was kind of original, the stuff that I was doing. Like back then, 10 years ago on YouTube, it was like weird to do anything video game on YouTube. I know that sounds ridiculous, but you were like an outsider doing video game stuff on YouTube.
Was it all like vlogs and stuff?
And so, yeah, mostly? I just felt like, yeah, it was like people just vlogging with a crappy webcam and stuff. And if you did anything else, I remember YouTube was like really not wanting the video game stuff back then. They like didn't like the idea of video gamers on YouTube. And now, of course, it's like the main thing people are using YouTube for. I just kind of feel like, yeah, I'm not really happy doing this and it doesn't seem right anymore. So I kind of should just go with all this stuff. Like I'd get ideas sometimes of things that I'd want to do, but I couldn't because I got to make that video talking about the new Nintendo news. So it'll be exciting. I'll be interested to see what you fellas think. That's the opinion that matters to me.
Well, honestly, I will say that any sort of injection of creativity and new, like innovative new things, I think is awesome. And so I really, really look forward to seeing what you've got cooking. Cause it's from what I'm seeing so far, I'm really impressed. So keep it up.
Thank you.
Keep slogging away.
You always tell that when you put something out, Josh, and I think of like your make-believe videos, that there is a level of passion that comes through in all the videos and your time and your care. And I think that's and the craft that you do so well. So I'm very excited to see, if you need to take several months away to kind of reshape where you want to be your craft, I think it can only help you in the end. And I think we're very excited to see what comes out of it.
Yeah.
Thank you guys very much.
Super, super.
I got two episodes of Make Believe in the pipe. They're done. They could go up right now if I wanted to. So it feels good to have work done that's waiting.
Nice.
That's awesome. Very cool.
That's fantastic.
I'm really.
But I do want to say this actually about Nintendo Dads.
Oh.
You fellas are one of my favorite podcasts. And I swear I'm not just saying this.
Oh, stop.
I remember, there's a level of. See, what matters on the internet is chemistry.
Mm.
And you four boys have got good chemistry. You're worth, you bounce off of each other really well. And, some other podcasts, I won't mention names, but some of them, it's like, I don't know. There's not a good yin and yang going on like there is with Nintendo Dads. And I like that there's a lot of covering the news really well, but a lot of good casual stuff. So it's a good stuff. You guys do great work as well.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Josh. Sir. We appreciate that.
Now that we have all sufficiently
absolutely
got our heads up each other's I think we can wrap up the show because I think that I feel like my head is sufficiently large and everybody feels good about themselves. So I can get through another week now. Anything else as we kind of wrap up the show, guys? I think we're going to push this email to next week. And we'll talk about it then because I want to give it the time that it deserves as well. Justin, can you think of anything as we kind of wrap up the show here?
I do, actually. And speaking of kind of the work and shout-outs I want to give. So we've already been asked and approached, and I'm kind of getting ahead of this now, or I shouldn't say I am. Our community is specifically Tim, a member of our community, about Extra Life 2017. And we have been asked if we are going to be participating in it, and I'm excited to announce that, yes, indeed, we are participating in Extra Life 2017. And thanks to our good friend and Patreon supporter, Tim, he has quarterbacked this basically setup of everything. We already have a page on Extra Life. If you want to join our team, it is NintendoDads_EL2017. You can join our team. Our goal this year is to raise $1,750. As I recall, last year our goal was $1,000, and we broke that. We were able to do good work to help out children who needs it. And again, it benefits the Children's Miracle Network. The actual play day, I believe, is scheduled for Saturday, November 4th. We are going to be promoting more information on our channel about where you can watch us live, how you can play with us. We're going to have a Discord chat. We're going to have tons of things going on to support this. If you're interested in joining our team, the more the merrier. Come on in. Again, head over to Extra Life Search. I think there's a search field for teams, and it just says join our team. And we welcome you if you are a Nintendo Dad fan, supporter, whatever you are, and you want to join our team to help us reach that goal. That would be amazing. Last year, we had a feud between the Mega Dads and Sean Capri and Bobby. As I recall, ladies and gentlemen, I believe we are still the champions. We actually did edge out Bobby and Sean in the end, and I just have to customize our world championship belt that we won in relation to being awesome. So I suspect we'll have more competitions and feuds that way. But guys, we're going to continue to promote this through leading up to Extra Life. If you have any questions, send us a tweet, an email, anything you need to do to make sure that you're on board with this as well.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that's something to promote.
Right on, man. Well, hey,
speaking of Patreon, I do want to say we were remiss. I apologize. We actually did have a new supporter this week. I apologize. I missed it. His name is David. So, David, thank you for being our latest Patreon supporter. We greatly, greatly appreciate that. We appreciate all of our over 50 Patreon supporters that every single month help us create amazing content and support us. So thank you so much for that as well.
Right.
And because of their Patreon support, they get to tell us what games to play, like the wonderful Donkey Kong 64 that everyone is playing, except for me, because all my things in a box. Too bad. But that Retro Rewind episode will be coming up relatively soon as well.
Right on. Well, thank you once again to all of our Patreon supporters. You guys are the best. You're awesome. I can't say enough. And of course, to our guest, Josh Thomas. Josh, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you bathing? I don't know what else to say.
Bathing? Oh, bathing with the switch. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I know.
You're
referencing that.
By the way, that's a very dangerous. Like one slip and that switch is in the bathtub, and like you've just lost a lot of money, my friend.
You know what,
I mean,
dude?
Yeah, but I live life on the edge. Justin.
Yeah.
There's no cloud saving. It's all gone. It's all gone.
No. I'm a rebel.
So where can people find you, Josh?
In a month, they can find me on YouTube, but it'll be a different channel name, actually. I'm changing the name of the channel, but I'll be on YouTube.
Wow, right on. Very cool. Awesome. Well, thank you for being on the show once again. And, of course, if you want to follow us on all the social medias, you can do so on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Nintendo Dads. If you want to email us, you can email us at NintendoDads@gmail.com. If you want to find our videos, you can look for Nintendo Dads on either Twitch or YouTube. If you want to call in and leave us a voicemail, you can do so at 929-25-NDADS. That's 929-256-3237. Huge thanks to to OC Remix for our music throughout the show, as well as to both Carter Johnson and Adam Leonard for our artwork. And, of course, if you want to change the world, you can go over to iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatever the heck they call them nowadays. You can subscribe, or you can leave a review over there, 5-star reviews or even better, written reviews, whatever. Just spread the Nintendo Dad's love across the world, and we too can change it together. Finally, if you want to subscribe to the show, you can do so on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and of course, VGTribune.com. For me, for Justin, for Jesse, for Marty, and for Josh, we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.
Wobble Puffet, Wobble Buffet.
Do you like how by the end of the podcast, literally the sun is rising behind me as we're finishing this thing?
It's so weird.
It's a neat effect.
I like it.
Ugh.